Okay, we're on the record. This is the Senate State Affairs Committee hearing. Today's date is March 22nd, 2012. The time is about 9:02 in the morning. We have with us today Senator Geisel, Senator Meyer, myself, Wilkowski. I expect Senator Kukesh to be here. Senator Pasfan is attending, has another commitment this morning. We have three bills and one resolution before us today. The first is Senate Bill 132, which would provide the Department of Motor Vehicles, which would direct the Department of Motor Vehicles to produce a provisional driver's sticker for drivers between the ages of 16 and 18. Next, we have H.J.R. 34, which urges the President and Congress to fund icebreakers in an Arctic base for the Coast Guard. Third, we have House Bill 129, which gives family members of deceased veterans up to four certified copies of a veteran's death certificate. Last is House Bill 180, which allows the Department of Motor Vehicles to add veterans' information and status to a driver's license. We'll begin with Senate Bill 132. Senator Meyer, this is your bill. Would you like to present this bill or have your Chief of Staff, Bob Pulaski, do it?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am going to have my Chief of Staff, Mr. Pulaski, present the bill. I just wanted to give some introductory remarks. This bill or this idea was actually brought to my attention by a constituent, Jessica Lucan, and she's also going to be, she has a short PowerPoint that she's going to be going through. She researched this idea as a project for her school, and her concern was inexperienced drivers on the road. And when a person first gets their provisional license, you know, have they had the necessary training and experience to actually be on the road? And of course, we all know a vehicle is very dangerous if someone is using it or driving it who doesn't have the proper knowledge and experience. And, you know, I was thinking when I went to school, and maybe a lot of us here, we used to have a defensive driving course as part of our education, as part of our school system, and they no longer have that program, in at least in the Anchorage schools, and I don't think anywhere in the state. So I think this idea has a lot of merit, and I wanted to present it to the committee. And so with that, I'll formally present it, or have Mr. Pulaski formally present it.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Mr. Pulaski, if you'd come forward, Ms. Lucan. And we've been joined by Senator Kukesh. You can put yourself on the record and give us an overview of Senate Bill 132.
Yes, Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Bob Pulaski, staff Senator Meyer. You're presenting SB 132, the provision driver's license sticker. SB 132 provides for a provision driver's license for drivers between the ages of 16 and 18 years who are driving under the Alaska Graduated License Program. The Alaska Graduated License Program requires one to have an instruction permit at least 6 months prior to testing for a driver's license. Upon receipt of the driver's license, the driver is driving under the provision of driver's license. The provisional license is in effect for 6 months or longer based on any motor vehicle violations during the provisional period. The Alaska Graduated License Program remains in effect until one's 18th birthday, and upon obtaining a provisional license, under SB 132, the driver would obtain a sticker that shows the vehicle is being driven by a driver with a provisional license. If SB 132, if enacted, SB 132 would add a new subsection to Alaska Statutes 28.15.055, Alaska's provisional license law, establishing the provisional license sticker and the responsibility of the driver to display it. SB 132 would continue the responsibilities of the drivers and the other responsible parties established in the 2005 provisional driver's license law. We all know the challenges of Alaska driving conditions. Winter cold weather, darkness, snow berms, frosted windows, and low sun level in the air all add to the challenges where we are experienced as drivers with. Similarly, our extended summer life and activities bring their own risks with tiredness, crowded roads, and distractions. SB 132 simply helps experienced drivers recognize the inexperienced driver by providing a sticker. Recognizing inexperienced driving as a step to improving driving safety was a reason behind Alaska's graduated license law. By adding the provision, they'll sicker the car. Other drivers can respect the inexperience the new driver has and drive appropriately. Defensive driving is a key that we are all we're trained at and pay close attention to. Finally, the bill provides guidance to the Department of Motor Vehicles and Department of Public Safety on issuing and enforcing the provisional permit. As Senator Meyer said, the bill was researched and proposed by Ms. Jessica Lucan, a senior in Alaska's Hope School program. Jessica is here to share her research and reasons for the proposal to Senator Meyer's office for SB 132. At that time, I thank the chair for the opportunity to introduce and either answer questions or request the chair recognize Ms. Lucan for her testimony.
All right, thank you, Mr. Pulaski. Questions? I have one question. If a young driver has a family that has a few cars, which I think most Alaskans have, many Alaskan families have multiple cars, RVs, is it, do they get one sticker or is, could they get like a magnet or something?
That's a question that has come up in the Department of Motor Vehicles is researching what is the best approach. The bill gives them the flexibility to determine the best approach for the sticker, and to go beyond that, I would default if Director Whitney Brewster were online for her comment.
Okay, and do you have a preference of whether we take Whitney now or after Ms. Lucan?
For this specific question, I would encourage you now.
Okay, Ms. Brewster, are you on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am here.
Okay, thank you. If you could put yourself on the record, we may have a few questions for you.
Absolutely. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster. I'm the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Mr. Chairman, I did hear your question. The DMV has researched preliminarily the issue of the provisional sticker. In the research that we have done, we have looked at ways to utilize the sticker on multiple vehicles. We have looked at the possibility of using a static cling decal that could be transferred between vehicles. The cost of those is approximately 20 cents a piece. And we currently have about 6,300 provisional licenses on the street today. So it would be pretty inexpensive to administer the program. I do believe that this bill does allow the division flexibility in offering more than one, should that be needed. And so just in conclusion, I think it'd be fairly inexpensive and an easy program to administer.
Thank you. Do you have any anticipation of what this would cost young people, or if there would be a cost?
Mr. Chairman, the cost of the decal itself is about 20 cents. It would be less than $1,000 for the division to administer this program a year.
So would there be no charge then to the young driver?
Mr. Chairman, the bill does contemplate it does allow the division to charge a fee, which I think is probably good because you know, if there was ever a change in the cost or it became cost prohibitive for the department to absorb the cost, it's good to have that as an option. But I do not intend, as long as I am the division director, to actually charge that fee simply because of the low cost.
And are you aware of other states that have a similar type of sticker or provision that we're contemplating?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I am aware of other states, and I know that Ms. Lucan has done quite a bit of research on that topic.
Okay, great. We'll ask her that. And any other questions for Ms. Brewster? Yes, Senator Kukesh has a question.
What do you visualize the size of the sticker?
Senator Kukesh. I would imagine that it would be maybe 3 by 10, fairly small, but it would need to be easily seen by law enforcement in the back window. So I would likely work with law enforcement on that so that it is clearly visible.
Thank you. I bring it up because I've driven most of my life, and if a car passes me, I can't even read the license plate number on most of those cars, and I don't know how many people can see that unless it's a different color or something. I think the color makes more sense to me to have this, and I just have a problem with this. I'm sorry. I really do. It's just somebody's looking for something to do, and we want to pass a law, so let's go do this. Doesn't make any sense to me. How does this make the road safer? Geez, I don't see how that does it. I'm looking around, driving us. Hey, here's a car with a sticker there. It's a certain color, so I better slow down to make sure that the road is safer. Gosh, this looks like somebody's trying to make work. Sorry.
And we'll hear from Ms. Lukin about her rationale for this. Let me ask you this, Whitney. The fine, $300 contemplated, do you think that's an appropriate fine? It seems a little bit high.
Mr. Chairman, the fine for, just to give you a comparison, a fine for failure to follow the restrictions of a provisional license is a $200 penalty and a 2-point ticket. So I think it's within the same ballpark, but obviously if the legislative body would like to change that, that would certainly be within your purview of doing so.
Other questions?
I want to make a comment.
Yes, Senator Kukesh.
It seems to me that if you're going to have a $300 fine, it seems excessive to me. It seems to me the department ought to be responsible for giving this person the provisional sticker when he or she gets a provisional license and make sure that they put it on. But, geez, to give them a $300 fine just seems excessive to me, especially when you take points off. I mean, take points off for bad driving. Why would you take points off for not having a provisional sticker on the back of your car, for heaven's sake? I just want to know why we would do it for that. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Any response, Ms. Brewster, on the philosophy of?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, the way that I envision this bill being implemented at the DMV is that the provisional stickers would be distributed by the DMV when the provisional license is issued. Beyond that, it is outside the DMV scope, so I would defer to enforcement on your other questions. We don't assess the fines or the points. We simply put the points on the person's record. So that's kind of outside the DMV scope.
And would someone be subject to having points on their license if they didn't have this sticker on their car? Ms. Brewster?
Mr. Chairman, I do not believe so. This would not be a moving violation per se, and so I do not anticipate that there would be points assessed.
And does the administration support this bill?
Mr. Chairman, the department is neutral on this bill.
Any other questions for Ms. Brewster? Are you able to hold on for a little while, Ms. Brewster, in case questions come up?
Yes, I am available.
Okay, thank you. Let's get to Ms. Lukin, and welcome to the committee. If you could put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
For the record, my name is Jessica Lukin. I'd like to begin by thanking the committee for allowing me to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 132. I'd also like to thank Senator Meyer and his staff, as well as Representative Sharice Millett and her staff for making my project possible. A little over a year ago in February 2011, I had the opportunity to take part of the program Juno Close-Up. The homework beforehand included learning about state and local government, along with presenting a project or idea to our state representative and senator. The product of that project is now Senate Bill 132. If you turn to slide 2, cause of death among teenagers between 1999 and 2006 in the U.S., I'd like to point out that 48% of the unintentional injury, 73% of that is motor vehicle traffic accidents. These are the Alaska statistics for drivers ages 14 to 16 in 2004 and 2008. Out of the fatal crashes and the fatal injuries, the numbers were highest in 2008. Also, if you compute the average number of minor injury crashes, major injury crashes, minor injuries, and major injuries, the averages will be higher than the numbers stated in 2008. This means that although it may seem that the numbers are declining, on average, they remain the same. These are a few more Alaska statistics for drivers ages 16 to 17 between 2002 and 2011. This slide shows that the age and percentage of drivers involved in crashes between 2002 and 2011, but there isn't any information on the effects that the crashes had on the occupants of the other vehicle and the effects that it had on the public. Provisional license drivers. Provisional license drivers are hazardous due to apprehension. Novice drivers are more likely to be nervous due to the fact that they are driving by themselves for the first time. Lack of experience. Many young drivers are known to lack sound judgment because of lack of experience on the road. Weather conditions. Rain, snow, and ice are but a few examples of Alaska's diverse weather conditions. No driver's education requirement. And Alaska's diversity from other states. Alaska is known for the vast differences that it has from other states. We have one of the most dangerous roads in America, midnight fishing runs, and we are constantly on the lookout for wildlife. Here's the proposed solution. A person holding a provisional license, holding a provisional driver's license shall display in the rear window of each vehicle operated by the person a sticker issued by the department that identifies that the vehicle is operated by a provisional licensee. Similar laws are implemented in New Jersey, British Columbia, Newfoundland, Yukon, and other countries like Australia.
Can I just ask, is that the, can you go back a slide? Is that red sticker there that indicates that it's a youth threat?
Okay. Yes, that is the example that I gave for New Jersey. They use a red decal on the back of their license plates to identify. Here are a few examples of what stickers look like in other places that it is implemented. In Canada, a learner's permit holder uses an L and an N during their equivalent provisional licensee stage. As you can see in the bottom right-hand corner, even the Sovereign, Prince William and Catherine, are no exception to abide by British law. So why this solution? This is a simple solution to benefit Alaska drivers. It will impress other drivers to be more cautious while driving around the novice teen driver. It will provide other drivers the information necessary to understand the provisional licensee's position, and it will assist law enforcement officers in implementing the law. Here is the suggested enforcement. As the bill states, failure to display a sticker as required by this subsection is an infraction and may be punished by a fine of not more than $300. The enforcement of this bill will impress young drivers on how imperative it is to have the sticker on the back of their vehicle. Here is an example of what procedures might take place after the bill is turned into law. The state of Alaska will supply the Department of Motor Vehicles with stickers to distribute to those persons acquiring a provisional license. Those acquiring a provisional license will pay for the sticker as part of their permitting process. And the sticker will be placed on the rear window of the operating vehicle. In summary, teen drivers with provisional license are statistically more hazardous to themselves and other Alaskans. I suggest that we require provisional license drivers to identify their status and reduce the number of accidents and infractions in Alaska and help save Alaskan lives. Thank you again for your time and allowing me to testify before this committee. Are there any questions?
All right. Thank you, Jessica. Senator Kukesh, did you have a question?
Tell me how you came to the conclusion that this is going to reduce the number of accidents and infractions in Alaska.
Through the chair, The idea was to make other drivers aware that there is a new novice driver on the road. I know that when I began driving for the first time, I was nervous, and, you know, as you know, when you're by yourself, you're likely to make more mistakes since you've only been driving for, on average, a year. The suggestion was to allow other drivers who have had more experience to give the provisional licensee a little more room, be a little more impatient, and also aid law enforcement officers in identifying provisional license drivers.
Can I follow up?
Yeah, please.
Have you done any research that shows that other drivers helped cause the accidents that these provisional persons were involved in?
No, sir.
So we don't know that those other people helped cause the accidents or didn't help cause the accidents?
Through the chair, I'm not suggesting that they caused the accidents. I'm suggesting to reduce the number of accidents caused by provisional license drivers.
I'm trying to get to the point of where you have some backup to show that that would help. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be disrespectful or anything, but I'm trying to get to the idea of why this is so important to Alaska, and I just don't see it yet, other than if you had some statistics that tell me the number of accidents were caused by. I mean, I think that if you went back and did the investigation and found out people crashed because they were speeding or because they had alcohol impairment, I think that would be more of it would be easier to convince me to support this if that was the statistics you have, but I don't see any of that statistics there.
Through the chair, the goal of the bill is to ensure that those accidents won't be caused. I don't have the statistics to back up the fact that those accidents are caused because Alaska, honestly, it's more difficult to find statistics for that. I've done extensive research on that, and I hadn't been able to get any of that information like I would want to present to you today. The goal of the bill is to ensure that provisional license drivers will be safer on the road, and that the restrictions required by provisional license drivers will be enforced.
We've got questions from Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, you know, this bill in particular is going to be real helpful in places, urban areas like Anchorage and Fairbanks, where you do have a lot more traffic, a lot more people on the roads. Unfortunately, you even have road rage, and I think if people know that, okay, it's a young driver, that's why he or she cut me off, that they will respect that, and you know, they'll cut you a little slack. So I think this is an excellent idea. We know that a lot of accidents, and your statistics did back this up, occur when people are young people are driving in their first 6 months to 1 year. And like I said, you know, because of budget reasons or whatever, we do not educate our kids anymore on defensive driving in our schools. So unfortunately, kids are having to learn on the streets, and which does bother me a lot. But I think the provisional license has helped. Certainly, the insurance companies advocated very strongly for that. I'm sure if we had insurance companies here, they would advocate for your bill as well. But the idea must work because other states have used it, and I don't know if you have any statistics in these other states that have implemented this, if the number of wrecks with young kids have gone down. And you mentioned New Jersey. Do you know of other states that have implemented this, as well as, I think you mentioned Canada, and one of the states or countries, they had the L. I think we had to avoid L for 16-year-olds, they may not like to have an L on their car, but we could use an N for new driver or something. But anyways, so do you know other states in the lower 48 that have implemented this program?
Through the chair to Senator Meyer, the only state that I know of is New Jersey. And this law was just implemented in, I believe, a year and a half ago, so in 2010. I believe it passed in 2009 and then began being enforced in 2010. So it's brand new to New Jersey.
Thank you.
Senator Giesel, do you have a question?
I did. Well, actually, a comment. Ms. Lucan, you did a great job presenting this. And I think that one of the strong points in favor of what you're advocating is the slide you're showing right now that says student driver. If that weren't important, the driver education courses would not put that emblem on their vehicles, notifying drivers on the road that this is a student driver. Give them a little more space, be a little more patient. As we know, in Anchorage, we've got some pretty crazy drivers, especially when it snows, first snow or even third or fourth snow. So I really applaud your efforts, and I appreciate your bill. Thank you.
Senator Kukesh.
Thank you. I appreciate that comment about Anchorage. I'm sure they do have crazy drivers there. But in places like Angoon, Alaska, where I live, we have 3.5 miles of road, and you're going to require one of my children to take a provisional license, and then one of the people in rural Alaska have to pay a $300 fine. I'll give you an example. In Beaver, Alaska, they probably have a mile of road. Right now, we require drivers in Little Beaver, Alaska, to have a seatbelt on. Now we're going to ask them to take a $300 fine if they don't have a provisional license on their car. And most families in rural Alaska have one car. Let's say the young lady or young man is driving, he's got a provisional license, he doesn't have a sticker, that person has to pay a $300 fine. I don't know how many people in rural Alaska can afford to do that. In Anchorage, maybe they can afford to pay a $300 fine. I think that fine is excessive. I don't think this merits the kind of attention that we're going to give it in terms of having a provision, especially if it's in a corner of your back window and we don't know what the color is going to be. Just doesn't make any sense to me that we have a $300 fine for someone. Anchorage people can afford to pay that. The people I represent can't afford a $300 fine for a provisional license. I think that's excessive.
Through the chair, I believe the fine is only if you don't have the provisional license sticker on your vehicle, and I think it was suggested that it might be a static cling sticker, so it can come on and off depending on who's driving. I think it was also stated that it would be issued by the DMV, so when they go in and pick up their provisional license, they'll be able to get the sticker along well because it's required to have the sticker, so they'll acquire the sticker along with their provisional license.
I understand that, and could I follow up? I understand that. I'm just saying that people being people, and even in Anchorage, Alaska, some people will forget to put their provisional license sticker on. You might have more than one car in Anchorage, Alaska, but in rural Alaska, you have one car. Well, if it's static cling, there's a chance it could come off. I just have a problem with it as well. And I'd be more comfortable with that slide you showed where if you have a provisional license as just like the student driver's, like if it was bigger than the size that the department says they think they're going to go with right now, and it was something other than a back window. Take a chance, everybody in this room, when next time you're driving, to see if you can even recognize license plates, and they're pretty good size on what state they are. You know, people are driving past your... I think that I just see too many restrictions in this, and it just seems to me it's just put another provision on people in Alaska to follow, and I have a problem with it. Now, I don't question your intentions. I do not. I think you have good intentions, and this was probably a good work assignment for you from your class that was started off as a class assignment, but I think that when we put a burden on anybody in Alaska, I just don't, I've never have agreed with that. So pardon me for being questionable here. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Meyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is the committee process, and we can certainly amend the bill if $300 is excessive. But I think this is a public safety issue and policy call, and I do believe that's our job as lawmakers is to try to protect the public. And, boy, those cars and trucks are pretty big vehicles that, can kill people. So I think this is a very important subject and warrants the committee's time to discuss whether we think it's something we want or not.
Senator Kukesh.
I think it is committee time, and I don't think we're wasting anybody's time here for me having a discussion, having a little bit of an objection here. I think that's part of the committee process. I've always been one of those people that don't like the idea of putting regulation upon regulation on people's back in Alaska, and I just think this is one that we don't need.
It's all part of the committee process, Ms. Lucan. You're doing a great job, by the way. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you have any statistics that show that putting this type of sticker on a car would reduce accidents?
To the chair, I don't have statistics just because it hasn't been implemented anywhere in the United States, except for New Jersey, and because it's brand new, you know, those statistics are still coming in and they're raw. And there's not a lot of information that I would like to have, so I don't have those statistics.
Anything from Canada or from Europe where they've done this?
No, sir. Like I said, it was hard to obtain the research for this. I've spent hours trying to obtain as many statistics to bring to you as I could, so the ones that I have in the slides are all that I have for you at the moment. And I wanted to get more Alaska statistics in because it did pertain to Alaska.
Do you have any rough idea of what percentage of young drivers, provisional drivers, are actually involved in accidents? I've heard the numbers staggeringly high. Do you have any sense of what that number is?
No, I don't. Like I said, it is hard to obtain the information for that, and I tried to get a hold of that information through the DMV and through the state of Alaska. And because Alaska doesn't have as many roads as the lower 48, the statistics aren't what I the statistics aren't there like I would like them to be. I couldn't find any information on provisional license drivers because the program is new to Alaska and the graduated driver's license system. So, I don't have that information for you.
Do you have any information on whether the problem is young drivers or new drivers? In other words, if someone gets their driver's license at 25, are they at the same risk of getting in an accident as someone who's 15?
I think the statistics would be different because after you pass the drinking age, you have intoxicant issues that come in into drivers ages 25 compared to drivers ages 15 to 18. So I would say that statistics would most likely be higher for new drivers in their first 6 months, since they're by themselves, and while you have your learner's permit, you're driving with an adult.
Do you think the age that we allow people to drive in Alaska is appropriate, or do you think we should raise that age?
I believe it's appropriate.
Okay. And do you think there's been some concern about the amount, $300? Do you think that's excessive, or do you think that's the right number?
I believe, as the bill states, it's not to exceed $300. So I believe that it could be lowered because it is an excessive amount. Also, the bill House Committee State Affairs, they amended it to be a second secondary stop. So it would be the $200 for the secondary stop when they were pulled over, plus a 2-point reduction. The reason that we didn't do a point because a point seemed too excessive, because once they have a point, that'll tack on 6 more months of provisional license driving period.
And then do you contemplate this sticker being required for, say, motorcycles, snow machines, other vehicles?
Right now, the sticker is just geared towards motor vehicles.
Cars.
Cars. Yes, sir.
Trucks, SUVs. Okay, other questions? Senator Diesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lucan, on page 3 of your slide presentation, you give the statistics for folks with learner's permits, 14 through 16, and we can see the data right there in terms of the various types of crashes, injuries, both non-fatal and fatal. So I think that's really good information. It's really hard, you know, sometimes to demonstrate the benefit of prevention. You know, we find that in healthcare a lot, showing prevention. Well, these accidents didn't occur. Well, how do you know they didn't occur? That's sometimes really hard to show. My question is, have you talked with your peers, your colleagues of this age group? You know, have you gotten any feedback from them on how they feel about this?
Through the chair to Representative Giesel, I haven't. I find teenagers probably wouldn't like it if they had a restriction. I haven't talked to them about it. I've talked to a few of my peers. They seem to like the idea to create a safer road and more wide berth since they're new to driving. Originally, the idea was geared towards drivers with their learner's permit. But it seemed that it would be more beneficial to drivers with their provisional license since they're driving by themselves without an adult for the first time.
Senator Giesel.
Could I ask one other follow-up? There are companies, I know in Anchorage, I believe in Fairbanks as well, that do have these driver education courses. Have you spoken to anyone that operates those companies or actually teaches folks how to drive? Do you know what their thoughts are on this?
No, I haven't, but I can get you that information.
Thank you.
All right, other questions from Ms. Lucan? Yes, Senator Kukesh.
Could you explain to me the last sentence of the first paragraph B? A person charged with violence section may not be convicted. Do you envision a court being involved here someplace?
I believe that a court would be involved if they had been pulled over and the sticker had fallen off, as long as they showed proof that they had obtained the sticker. I don't believe that there would be a fine involved. Excuse me, can you point out the place again?
I'm sorry, the last sentence in B. I was just wondering what kind of court whether you envision a court being involved with this and how does that work? Now, a person charged with violent section may not be convicted. That's an interesting statement to me.
Yes, I do believe that a court would be involved because it shows in subsection 1, has not been previously arrested, charges, or cited for the violation of this section, and produces in court proof that the person has obtained it and affixed the sticker required by this subsection. So a court would be involved.
Okay, good. I just bring it up because in addition to the cost of $300, you have the addition of the cost of going to court, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit, adds to my earlier statement about this being excessive. Thank you.
Just so this looks to be a second so in other words, you get a free pass. Am I reading this correct? If you're caught driving without the sticker once, you can't be convicted. Is that correct?
I believe so, as long as you show court proof that you have obtained the sticker.
Well, looking at page 1, line 10, it says, however, a person charged with violating this section may not be convicted if the person has not previously been arrested, charged, or cited for a violation of the section. So am I reading that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. So you get one free pass, basically, and then the second time you get the $300 fine. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Lucan. Anything else, Mr. Pulaski? No? Okay. And public testimony. We heard from Ms. Brewster. Other questions for Whitney? Okay, I don't see any. We've got Lieutenant Dial on the line to answer questions. Any questions from the Alaska State Troopers? Mr. Dial, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, I am here.
Could you put yourself on the record, please?
Yes, for the record, my name is Rodney Dial. I'm a lieutenant with the State Troopers stationed in Ketchikan.
Did you have any testimony you wanted to give?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just make a couple comments. The department's neutral on this bill, but I heard some testimony regarding the fine. For the committee's information, the fine is actually set by the Supreme Court, so that would just be a maximum fine. It's likely that the actual fine would be less than that. Also, as we read this statute, the first offense would be a correctable citation if the individual was complying with the requirements of this bill. So, for example, if they had the sticker and for whatever reason it wasn't on the vehicle or wasn't affixed appropriately or it fell off or something like that, as long as they could show that they had complied with that, we would handle it as a correctable citation. And then the person, and as far as the section that says the person charged with violation of this section may not be convicted if, we would take the, we would assume that that would be a person who was contesting the citation and actually wanted to go to court. Otherwise, I don't believe that this would be a mandatory court appearance based upon the way that the bill is written. The potential benefits would be to help identify those vehicles being operated in violation of a provisional restrictions. For example, a vehicle with a provisional sticker with a driver who appeared to be 16 to 18 years old would be subject to being stopped if that person was observed by an officer driving between the hours of 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. Now, if this was kept as a secondary violation, there would have to be another reason for that traffic stop. But, you know, that's a potential benefit of, you know, identifying these vehicles, because it would help a law enforcement officer identify if they're being operated in violation of provisional licensing restrictions. And with that, I'm available to answer questions.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant. Do you have any opinion about whether or not this would make Alaska roads safer?
Mr. Chairman, we do not have an opinion on that.
Okay. Questions for Lieutenant Dow? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant Dow. Do we have anyone else signed up online to testify? I don't see anyone. Do we have anyone else in the room wanting to testify? I don't see anyone. We'll close public testimony. Any last words from Ms. Lukin or from Mr. Pulaski?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
I'd like to point out that I understand no bill is perfect. There's always going to be making the choice whether the benefits outweigh the cost. I believe that the cost would be someone's life, and I believe that the benefit will be saving that life. So I respectfully request that you move this bill.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lukin. Good job presenting the bill, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, Senator Kukesh.
I hope you enjoyed the experience. It's kind of.
Is this the first time you've presented the bill, Ms. Lukin? Oh, you did one in the House. Oh, good, good. Is it easier here or harder?
I'm not going to answer.
As she glances at Senator Kukesh.
It's part of the committee process, so I appreciate the questions and not being easy on me because I'm a student.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's move on. We'll, by the way, if members have proposed amendments, if you could get them to Michelle in the next day or two, that'd be great. Thank you. Okay, thank you. All right, let's move on to House Joint Resolution 34. This resolution urges the President and Congress to fund a Coast Guard, Arctic base, and icebreakers. We've already heard this once and moved a Senate companion, so it's my hope that we can move this forward today, assuming the committee supports that. We have Rob Earl with Representative Herron's office, and Rob, if you could come forward, put yourself on the record, and just give us a quick overview of HJR 34.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rob Earl, staff to Representative Herron. First of all, apologies for Representative Herron had an out-of-town engagement. He would have liked to have been here. The crux of the resolution, Mr. Chairman, is on page 4, line 21, that first resolved, which basically it's asking Congress to fund icebreakers and an Arctic Coast Guard base. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to point out the one difference between this version of HJR 34 and the Senate version that this committee heard last month, and that is on page 4, line 11, the phrase strategically important, which has been inserted before Bering Strait. And we believe this phrase kind of helps clarify the term choke point that you see on line 12. A choke point is a military term of art meaning a geographic feature such as a valley or a strait that would require any armed force passing through to present a much narrower front, thereby decreasing its combative power considerably depending on the nature of the geographic feature. Perhaps the most famous choke point, Mr. Chairman, is the Pass at Thermopylae, where the Spartans defended Greece from the Persians in 480 BC. To suggest the Bering Strait may prove as critical to the course of human history as the Pass at Thermopylae may be a bit of a stretch, Mr. Chairman, but it's certainly possible considering the Strait's position between the Arctic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean and the importance of Arctic resources to the future of humanity.
Is that the pass from the movie 300, by the way?
Exactly. I didn't want to reference that, but thank you. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand open for questions, and we also should have retired Coast Guard Admiral Jeff Garrett online for questions only.
Thank you. And as I mentioned, this was before us before we heard some great public testimony. I think we heard from Mr. Garrett, Admiral Garrett himself. And any questions for the resolution sponsor? I think it's a good resolution. I think it's important. We've had a lot of talk this session about the importance of getting icebreakers because the country has finally started to realize we are an Arctic nation. Questions for the resolution sponsor? Okay, I don't see any. Let's go to public testimony. We've got Admiral Garrett online to answer questions. Mr. Garrett, are you there?
I am, sir.
Okay, if you could just put yourself on the record, and we may have questions for you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jeffrey Garrett, Rear Admiral, U.S. Coast Guard, retired.
Great. And thank you for appearing before us again. Questions for Admiral Garrett? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you, Admiral. We have no questions. Anyone else online wanting to testify? Don't see anyone. Anyone else in the room wanting to testify? Don't see anyone. We'll close public testimony. As I mentioned, this has appeared before us before. The only change was identified by Mr. Earls in page 4, line 11. I think it's a good change. It just adds strategically important. It is strategically important. I think that's an important acknowledgement. Any comments from the committee or questions for the resolution sponsor before we decide on committee action? Okay, I don't see any. What's the will of the committee? Yes, Senator Diesel.
I move that CS for House Joint Resolution Number 34, Version A, be passed out of this committee with individual recommendations, and I believe this is zero fiscal note.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Any objection?
Clarify that it's B.
Let's just clarify that it's version B.A.
Thank you.
From committee, and I'll just make that a friendly amendment. And and I'll just note, we don't typically move bills or resolutions on the first day of hearing, but we have heard this one before, and so that's why we are moving it. I know others have bills before us, which we'll be holding over. Okay, if there's no objection, the bill's moved. The resolution is moved. If everyone could sign the sheet. Okay, let's move on now to House Bill 129. This is a bill which gives family members of deceased veterans up to 4 certified copies of a death certificate for that veteran. The bill is sponsored by Representative Grunberg. Representative Grunberg, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I feel like Daniel.
You can put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Max Grunberg, House District 20. I'm one of your constituents. And this is Ted Madsen, my Chief of Staff.
All right, welcome.
Thank you very much for hearing this particular bill. It's very simple. It simply provides that upon the death of a veteran who is defined in the bill and I'm looking at the definition on the second page here, it's a person who was on active duty at the time of their death or had received an honorable or general discharge from the armed services and conjunctive was a resident of Alaska at the time of the individual's death. So they wouldn't have to die in Alaska, but they'd have to be an Alaska resident. Anyway, that person would be entitled upon request, that's the request of the estate or somebody representing them, and without charge to the estate or anybody, the Bureau of Vital Statistics would issue up to 4 certified copies of the death certificate. It would be specifically for the purpose of establishing an eligibility requirement for a benefit related to the death of the veteran. And it's very important. This bill has been around for 4 legislatures and just got caught up in the end rush. I'm not aware of any opposition to it. There's a small fiscal note, goes to finance from here. And if the committee likes the bill, I'd like to get it up to finance as soon as we can. But the term benefit is not limited to a governmental benefit. At one of the previous iterations, and I can look at it if you wish, find it, We took out the word governmental. So it could be such things as a life insurance policy or anything like that. But it's important that the estate or the representatives have access to certified copies of the death certificate. And sometimes you actually have to turn these in. And four is a modest number, and was used for budgetary purposes. But the estates may need more than that, and that is the bill. Now, I'm going to just had something drafted, because in the House Finance Committee, they changed the number of certificates on line 23, page 2, from one certified copy to four. But inadvertently, we neglected to change the title, and it says relating to providing a death certificate. And I just talked to Alpheus Bullard a few minutes ago. He said it would, the title, current title, probably would not invalidate the bill, but he recommended that there be a title change. And I've just had it prepared. I only have one copy. I'm happy to get it to you. Instead of changing, it would say on page one after providing, it would say providing copies of a death certificate. So in case somebody down the line made three or five or 99 or whatever, it would still cover it. And we also have a draft Senate concurrent resolution. Since you're making a Senate amendment to the title, it requires a concurrent resolution. And I'll provide that to the staff. And again, thank you very much for hearing the bill.
All right, thank you, Representative Groenberg. What is the cost of a death certificate now?
I think it's $25. I'd have to look, but that's my recollection. I don't know if you have somebody from the division on.
Well, actually, we do. Looks like we have Philip Mitchell online.
I defer to him.
No, I'm here in person.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Mitchell, do you want to come forward?
By the way, we appreciate his help and help with the division for all these years.
Welcome to the committee. If you could put yourself on the record.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my name is Philip Mitchell. I'm the Section Chief for Vital Statistics, and I'm here to testify on HB 129. As Representative Groenberg mentioned, the intent of the bill is to provide a public service for deceased veterans, and is similar to bills that have been previously introduced in the legislature. The administration has no position on this bill, and as stated, the bill would allow a person to request up to four free copies to satisfy an eligibility requirement. And as mentioned before, it doesn't necessarily have to be a governmental agency such as Social Security, but you may need it for banks, financial reasons, if you have IRA accounts and things like that. The impact of the bill is mostly financial and would be expected to grow as more people became aware of the new law. We have received requests for 40 or more death certificates related to a death. However, we have done some research, and the average number of certificate requests we get is about five per death. In reviewing death certificates over the past few years, we found that about 30% of Alaskans have indicated that they were a veteran, and that's approximately 1,000 deaths per year. The fee for our first copy of a certificate is $25, but it is $20 for each copy after that. So assuming that we're issuing three to four copies to a person at no charge, the impact would be that we'd be issuing between 3,000 and 4,000 copies at no charge. However, I will say that we're not clear what a person means. For example, does a person mean one and only one individual, or does it mean the wife is a person, the brother another person, the children a person? And the fiscal note could change substantially based on the interpretation of one person.
So can you point out which line you're looking at? Okay, so it looks like page 2.
Line 23.
Line 23, okay. So are you saying that a wife could come in and say, I would like four copies, and then a brother could come in and say,
I'm
I would like...
person, I want my four copies, no charge.
And, okay, and I guess we'll bring the bill sponsor up and ask about that.
We estimate that the bill will reduce the fees collected by the Bureau from about $75,000 in the first year and up to $100,000 in year five. About 3% of the Bureau budget is based on GF. The remainder of our budget is fee-based, and those fees are built into our budget. We did submit a fiscal note for HB 29 to cover the costs of the decreased program receipts. The fiscal note is a fund change, and it does have a net zero cost. And in order to maintain current services and staffing levels, the lost receipts would need to be replaced with GF. That's the extent of my testimony, Mr. Chairman, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that people may have.
Thank you. Excellent testimony. Senator Kukesh has a question.
I was wondering, how do you handle the request for a honorable discharge veteran? Do you get a copy of his honorable discharge before you can issue this death certificate?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, yes, we would require some type of proof that the person was a veteran.
Right.
You could have a copy of a DD-214. Some people would have a copy of the person's military ID,
right,
especially if they are active duty. If you're retired military, I still believe you would have a military ID that we could accept as proof of veteran status.
Or if we pass the next bill that's before us, their driver's license. Senator Kukesh.
I just wanted to follow up on it just to make sure I understand. How long would it take for someone to come in and say, my husband just died, here he's honorable discharge? Do you have to do a process of examination of your own, and how long would that take?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, we would accept the documentation the person provided to us. Once that person provided the documentation to us, we have a very short processing time in terms of getting the certificates that they would need.
Thank you very much.
Depending if they walk into one of our three offices, they could have it within 10 minutes. If it were mail-in, it may take 2 to 3 weeks for them to get their copy.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Let me just ask you a question. If someone is serving in Alaska, let's say they're out-of-state resident, let's say they're from California, but they're based in Alaska and they go to Afghanistan and they are killed in action there, would Alaska issue the death certificate in that case?
Mr. Chairman, deaths are actually registered in the region or area that they occur. We do get a notification of those deaths sometimes from the Department of State, but not always. So, for instance, if somebody was an Alaska resident, they were a veteran, they were visiting family in Washington State, it would be Washington State that would actually register that death, and the Bureau would not be able to issue any copies at all for that particular person.
So it has to be a death that occurs in Alaska?
It has to be a death that occurs in Alaska, yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Good. Other questions? Yes, Senator Meyer.
Yeah. Thank you for your testimony. I'm learning a lot here. So we don't provide any death certificates, not even one free, that each one has to be paid for?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, yes, each certificate that we issue is, there is a fee associated with it, and at this time we do not issue any death certificates at no charge.
Okay. And if I may, Mr. Chairman. I think you mentioned sometimes a family member can ask for up to 10 death certificates.
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, actually I think our record is we did receive a request once for 100 death certificates.
Mm.
That is highly unusual. Frequently it'll be 10 or less, but the average is about 5 per death, and that's what we based our fiscal note on. And of course the bill is 4, which is less than that average of 5.
Okay, great. And if I may follow up, your concern is that could be 4 per family member, and it could be, if there's 4 people in the family, 16 or something.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Appreciate your testimony. Okay, we've got Marie Darlin signed up to testify. Marie, welcome to the committee. Good to see you again.
For the record, I am Marie Darlin, representing AARP, and we just want to say that we do support this bill, and as you know, Alaska has the highest per capita number of veterans in the state, in the U.S., and so AARP is proud to have a lot of those as our members, of course. And we feel that providing copies of death certificates, whatever way you find it and put this bill together, to the survivors in a veteran's family is just one more way that we can recognize their service and one way to thank their families, and therefore we do urge support for the bill.
Thank you, Maury. Questions? I don't see any. Is there anyone else signed up online wanting to testify? I don't see anyone. Anyone else in the room wanting to testify? I don't see any. Let's close public testimony. Representative Groenberg. The issue of on page 2, line 23 of a person, have you given any consideration to that? Is that do we want to limit this to four per death? Any thoughts on that?
Yes and no. You know, I've looked at this bill for years, and this is the first time I focused on that. It is my intent to make it four per death. So regardless of how many folks came forward, the only entitlement to free certificates would be a total of number four for each deceased. And if this is ambiguous, and I think the language could be ambiguous, I'm happy to work with the staff to make certain that that's cured. I don't have the exact language offhand, but it was definitely four per death. I thought the other aspect of the question was who would be entitled to claim it. And we had language at various times in the bill, and I think maybe if I could ask the division a question.
Let's bring Mr. Mitchell back up, please. And
maybe you can just grab a chair there or something.
Physical chairs is more.
Okay. Let me just ask you. I assume the division, if I may ask you the chair.
Hey, we're an informal group here.
Does the division have the authority to promulgate regulations on this? I assume you do.
Through the chair, yes, we do. We have the authority to establish regulations.
I would, rather than getting into the weeds in the bill, leave it up to the division to do a regulation setting the priority. I would assume it would be the personal representative of the estate or next of kin, but I think it's more appropriate for the division to do that in reg. We could put it in the bill.
Mr. Mitchell, do you have a response?
Mr. Chairman, that would certainly be one way to clarify what we meant by one person by putting it in regulation.
Senator Kukesh?
Well, if we have to do because of the title change, have to go back and we might as well amend it here.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought it was very simple language would be that upon request without charge, the Bureau shall issue up to four certificate copies of the death certificate for the death of a veteran and take out to a person.
That would be great, Mr. Chair,
yeah.
And then the designation could be up to the division. I find that very acceptable.
Yeah, my sort of sense on this is if we can avoid the regulatory route, that's probably a better way to go, just so okay. We avoid more things on the books. I think that's an excellent suggestion, Senator Kukesh. We can work together
sure.
to try to figure out what
yeah,
a,
I just,
solution is on that.
I mean, in case two people, two claimants said they wanted – I'm happy to work with you. We could do it in the bill, or
we've got to change the title anyway. So I think it's a fairly simple fix, which we'll be able to come up with. Yes, Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I've been waiting years to amend Representative Groenberg's bills. So this is making my day.
I rode the Nimitz carrier down Anchorage to Bremerton about 20 years when it came. And there was an early warning squadron of planes, and these guys would look for the Russians, and they had on the back of T-shirts that they sold, "You can run, but you can't hide."
Okay, good. But I do have a legitimate question. I personally don't know if four is the right number. I mean, I don't want to be too hard on the families of the deceased veteran. Have we done any research in other states? I mean, other states obviously have veterans as well as Alaska.
Mr. Chair, through the chair, I have a copy in here of the Arizona law
right.
that this was modeled on. My recollection is in Arizona you only get one. And I certainly have no objection if you wished to, say, go up to the five that Mr. Mitchell was talking about, or whatever you wish. That's totally up to you.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know what the right number is. I was just looking as a kind of a reference how other states do it, but I'm fine with four.
Senator Kukesh.
Does that mean, excuse me, thank you very much, does that mean that if I came in for a death certificate and the person who died in my family was a veteran, we could get four, but if I wanted more, I would pay the regular charge? Is that understood?
That is absolutely the intent. The only thing this bill deals with, through the chair, Senator Kukesh, is the number of free.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to make the differential between, is that we know we get four free ones. Great, that's a good number. But if I want more, I pay for them.
Yes, sir.
That's great. Thank you. Understood.
Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need to clarify, because I think I heard two different messages from the representative and from Mr. Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell, you stated that if the individual is an Alaska resident and dies in Washington State, then the death would be recorded in Washington State. But I heard Representative Gruenberg say that if there, and the bill says on line 31, page 2, a resident at the time of the individual's death. So if it's recorded in Washington State, how is Alaska issuing a death certificate?
May I answer that? This only is directive to the Alaska Division of Vital Statistics, so the Bureau of Vital Statistics. So if the person died in Washington or Alabama, this bill doesn't apply.
Thank you.
Because they would pay it to the other state. And then, so there are two requirements. Number one, the death has to result in the Alaska death certificate. And number two, the person must be an Alaska resident at the time of death.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may, this would also be the converse of a Alaska resident dying in Washington State. The reverse could also be true. Someone could be up here on vacation, they're climbing Mount McKinley, they have an accident, they die, they're an out-of-state resident, but they also happen to be a veteran. This bill would specifically limit, not apply to that particular person because they weren't a resident at the time of death.
Great, thanks.
Okay, great. Other questions? Okay, Representative Gruenberg, thank you. I think there's a great interest by the committee to amend one of your bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We're going to
properly chastise.
We're going to set the bill aside, and if members have proposed amendments, if they could get them to Michelle by Monday, we'll work with Representative Gruenberg on fixing this. Okay, next up, let's go to House Bill 180, which allows the Department of Motor Vehicles to put a veteran's information and status on driver's license. We have Representative Sadler here to present the bill. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Representative Dan Sadler, District 18. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the State Senate State Affairs Committee for hearing House Bill 180. This bill does two things. I'm sure you've read the packet, but first it authorizes the State Division of Motor Vehicles to designate a person's status as a veteran on their state-issued driver's license or ID card, but only if that person requests that designation. That designation would be the image of a U.S. flag. Testimony and evidence that says that having proof of a veteran's status on a durable, convenient card will help veterans enjoy the discounts and benefits offered by grateful businesses. Second, HB 180 authorizes the DMV to provide the name and address of a person receiving that veteran's designation to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, but again, emphasize only if that person agrees. If he does, that means there'll be one more chance at him receiving notification about important health and other benefits he earned through his service. Through the process, the bill has made some changes and, in my opinion, some improvements. First, both the designation and the address sharing provisions are voluntary. While certainly I believe the benefits of the designation and the notification are manifest, we did make it optional out of respect for veterans' autonomy and privacy. Second, the designation is specifically designed to be the U.S. flag, which, thanks to the folks in House Finance, will save some design costs and reduce the fiscal net. The cost for the cards was dropped from the usual $15 replacement fee down to $5. This is intended to be a service to veterans and not a profit center for the state. And if you review the packet, it does document support from Military and Veterans Affairs, from the Division of Motor Vehicles, from representatives of veteran groups and individual veterans, and from individual businesses and business advocacy groups. To sum up, by giving Alaskans a way to carry convenient and reliable proof of their veteran status, HB 180 will offer veterans the chance to enjoy many of the benefits made available to them from a grateful nation and state. I would respectfully ask for your support for the bill and would be glad to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Representative Sadler. Questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, I don't see any. Senator Meyer.
Yep. Quick question. Mr. Chairman, what I guess what benefits does the veteran get, you know, when they present this card? And would they still have to carry a military ID as well? Or is this card, is this license with the flag on it to get rid of that or not have to use it?
Through the chair, Representative Senator Meyer, pardon me, this actually would be an additional designation on a state-issued driver's license or ID card. It would not be an additional card. It would keep your wallet skinny. It would save you from having to carry around your DOD card. If you were a retiree, you wouldn't have to carry your retiree card. You would not have to carry your big file of your DD-214 or 15 or NGB-2. Like we heard earlier, this would be a convenient way to prove your veteran status for a number of different benefits, including discounted or free death certificates. And the benefits to which they would be entitled, was that the second part of your question?
Yes.
Well, both officially, the veterans apparatus in the state tries to keep a registry of veterans in the state that they can use to notify veterans of, oh, for example, information that came out about exposure to Agent Orange and some new information that it would be beneficial for them to hear about. If there were new veterans' benefits or detriments to their benefits, they could get that information through regular notification. Unofficially, Alaska being a rather veteran-friendly state, a lot of retail businesses offer discounts and special preferences and offers. Someone walking into, you know, Applebee's or Knapp Auto Parts might present that card showing that they're a veteran, the driver's license, and receive a 10%, 20% discount. Lots of people want to show they're grateful to the veterans, and that would help them achieve those benefits.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and I'll just add, I've heard from a number of veterans organizations who support this bill, and this will make it much easier for veterans to prove their veteran status. And a good example is the bill that we just heard. If someone wants to get a death certificate, if we pass that bill and someone wants to get a death certificate, the family would have to go and pull out the DD-214 as opposed to bringing in the veteran's driver's license, which would prove that they were a veteran. So I think it's a good bill. Thank you for bringing it forward. Other questions? Okay, let's go to public testimony. We've got Rick Davidge signed up. Rick, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank again our friend Mr. Sadler for his support in pushing this bill. I agree with the sponsor that there have been some good improvements made. All I can say is, members of the committee, on behalf of Vietnam Veterans of America, many of you have seen my emails regarding new information on exposures not only to Agent Orange but now to contemporary radar and radiation, etc. And so many times veterans, when they leave service and have their departing physical, don't present the problems of various toxic exposures, and these become evident later on in their life. And we get a call from a wife or a mother or a family member, my husband, my dad, whatever, is dying. He seems to have a problem. Doesn't make sense. What do you know about this? Our first question is, where did they serve? When did they serve? And we can immediately provide them a rather extensive amount of information on the results of toxic exposures and presumptive disabilities in the VA. The tragedy is we get these calls almost at the 11th hour, and those services are mainly end up being funeral services and other last services. So we work very closely with the Department of Military Veterans Affairs and Bernie Bowen. This bill is a bill that's being pursued by 23 other states with some other minor changes. But the idea is, one, to provide veterans with a uniform ID that they can use on a day-to-day basis, and two, to enable the State Departments of Military or State Departments of Veterans Affairs to be able to notify veterans as new medical information becomes available that should be of immediate importance and attention to veterans and their families. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Rick. I know this has been an important issue for you, and you've done a lot of work on it. I appreciate all your hard work on this and other veterans' issues. Questions? I don't see any. Okay, next we've got Mercedes Angerman. Mercedes, if you could put yourself on the record.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. My name is Mercedes Angerman, and I'm with the State Office of Veterans Affairs. Verdi Bowen is traveling today and is unable to be here.
Great. Did you have testimony you wanted to give? I saw you signed up for questions.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing to Representative Sadler's comments, as well as Mr. Davich. Another benefit that we see in this bill is the benefit to emergency responders and law enforcement officials. If a veteran is in a situation where there is an emergency, or there's law enforcement and they have that designation on their driver's license, those people that are there to assist may be able to better discern a situation, knowing that this person is a veteran and perhaps has been exposed to some of the illnesses that Mr. Davich had mentioned in his testimony. So I just wanted to add that in there as an addition to the other benefits that have been outlined by the people that have spoke before me.
All right. Questions? Does the administration support this bill? Mercedes?
Oh, yes, Mr. Chair.
Does the administration support this bill, or are you neutral?
The Office of Veterans Affairs does, yes, sir.
Say that again?
Yes, the Office of Veterans Affairs does, yes, sir.
You support this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. cut out a little bit. Okay, thank you. Next up is Whitney Brewster again. Whitney, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. This will require the DMV to print a flag designator on a driver's license and identification card, identifying the driver as a veteran if satisfactory proof is provided to the division. We would also, as Representative Sadler stated, provide the name and address of the cardholder, if authorized by the applicant, to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. I just thought I would note that the House Finance Committee added language that the flag was to be used as a designation of veteran status on the license and ID card. Icons and pictographs are good options for people interacting with the cardholder, but if they don't know that person, let's say if a veteran in Alaska travels to another state, they may not know what the significance of that flag icon is. And so I just wanted to put on the record that the DMV would still likely put somewhere on the card veteran, so that if they do go out of state, they are still able to use their card as intended under this legislation. So I just wanted to point that out. There may be additional revenue generated should veterans come into the DMV before their license or identification card expires in order to get a new card with the designator. The DMV would charge the veteran a $5 replacement fee to produce the new card. The expiration date for that replacement card would not change from the previous license or ID card. So when the veteran's license is set to expire, the DMV would then charge them $15 to renew the card. I just wanted to point out the difference between replacement and renewal. If they come in before their time to renew, they would be charged the $5 fee. They would be charged $15 at time of expiration, just like every other Alaskan. So, and just a note, a person can renew their driver's license or ID up to a year before expiration. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee has.
What's the cost if someone loses their license and needs a replacement?
Mr. Chairman, it's $15.
And so if someone got a new veteran's license and then lost it, would that be a $5 fee or a $15 fee?
Mr. Chairman, that would be a $5 fee.
Questions? And just on the authority to put the word veteran on the license, just wondering where you derived that in the bill. It's looking at page 1, line 9. It says, at the request of the person, the department shall provide a United States flag designation on an identification card identifying the person as a retired veteran. I'm just wondering if you need additional legislative authority to actually put the words veteran on there.
Mr. Chairman, I do not believe that we do. I would like to promulgate that in a regulation, though. And we're going to have to promulgate regulations anyway because we will need to define what is considered satisfactory proof to the division. And we anticipate that we would work with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs on what particular documents would be shown or would be appropriate. So I think that we could promulgate that in regulation and be okay.
Do we need to give you authority to promulgate regulations for this?
Mr. Chairman, the division has, or the department has, pretty broad authority when it comes to promulgating regulations for driver licensing, and I believe that under other statutes that we would have the ability to do that.
Okay, other questions? I don't see any. We've got anything else you want to add, Whitney?
No, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Okay, thank you. We've got, going to the Fairbanks LA, we've got Joseph Fields signed up to testify. Mr. Fields, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, members of the committee. Thank you, Representative Sadler and co-sponsors for this good piece of legislation. My name is Joseph Fields. I'm the chair of the Alaska Veterans Advisory Council. I'm a Vietnam combat veteran, a 52-year resident of Alaska. This looks to me to be an excellent bill. You may see in your portfolio a resolution from the AVAC supporting this piece of legislation. I do want to note, and maybe I'm not correct here, but that is on line 3 of the bill that I have, it says driver's license or identification card. And in our resolution, we put both driver's license and identification cards. I don't know if it makes a difference or not, but technically you might draw to your attention. I believe it should be on both cards. This is an excellent bill. I think restating all the issues that the previous testimony has brought forward, Mr. Davidge and Ms. Angerman, they're spot on their determinations. We have, according to the VA, 77,000 veterans in the state with about 35 or 36,000 registered. That population brings in a large amount of revenue to the state through retirement and medical and health benefits, as well as the jobs they do in the state. It's a significant amount. There are a large number of veterans who are somewhat constrained in their ability to make a living, and they can get any benefit they can get from the commercial side of the enterprise is welcomed. I know that I buy materials for projects and things, and when I try to identify myself as a veteran, they'll frequently ask me if I have a retirement card. The difference between being retired and being a veteran is that you're a veteran and retired, or just a veteran. And this would help and go a long way in giving identification of the veteran to the public and to the commercial side of the house. If they have any questions, I'd be glad to take them.
All right, thank you. There is a question from Senator Kukesh.
Actually, it's not a question, it's a comment. Thank you for your distinction between a driver's license and an identification card. I had an uncle, Dr. Walter Sobloff, who was retired from the Alaska National Guard. He had to give up his driver's license when he was 85. He was objecting to having to give it up, but those of us who knew him well and saw him drive agreed with that premise. But he lived to be 102, which is another 20 years, and having a identification card that doesn't require you to drive with a designation on it makes a lot of sense, at least to me, and I hope that the sponsor would look at that because I think it makes some sense. At least in the case of my uncle, it would have made a lot of sense.
Good point, Senator Kukesh. Other questions? Okay, I don't see any. Is there anyone else? Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Fields.
Thank you.
Other people wanting to testify online? I don't see anyone else in the room wanting to testify. Did you want to testify, sir? please come forward. We've got about 4 minutes left.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tim Armstrong. I'm appearing this morning on behalf of the Department of Alaska Military Order of the Purple Heart. The Military Order of the Purple Heart is a congressionally chartered veterans service organization. Unlike the Disabled American Veterans, the American Legion, and the VFW, the MOPH is comprised 100% of combat veterans just by nature of our being wounded in action. We are appearing today to support the representative's bill 100%. We are extremely encouraged by the fact that everything in this bill is voluntary participation. There are some veterans that are reluctant to join into an effort and identify themselves for whatever reasons. However, the provision to participate along with the Military and Veterans Affairs and the program itself is completely voluntary. We find that most acceptable and very encouraging. The ability to use a veteran distinction on your driver's license or your ID card, as the case may be, would preclude people from, like, from myself. I'm not a retired veteran, however, I am a veteran, and I do carry my DD-214 around so that I can verify my status at any given time. And the distinction of having the this paperwork covered voluntarily in order to obtain a driver's license or an ID card would more or less expedite an awful lot of paperwork and procedures that a lot of people don't think of. One of the things that I noticed there were a lot of advantages, maybe the recognition by law enforcement, and Alaska, of course, as you mentioned, being a friendly state to veterans, and we are a growing population. Veterans my age right now are declining in Alaska, and that's just by nature of age. Most of them are moving to Florida or Hawaii or something like that. However, the younger veteran population is growing, and it's growing at a very rapid rate. The fact that one of the problems involved with older veterans, of course, is when they pass away in the state of Alaska, sometimes it's hard for the families to obtain their veteran service documentation, thereby making it tough to obtain maybe a burial flag for their funeral services and things like this, which of course the government guarantees. However, any funeral, mortuary, or whatever has to have this documentation in order to obtain a burial flag from the Postal Service. This would expedite that and make it an awful lot simpler. So that's the reason that we, as I mentioned, as Chief of Staff for the Department of Alaska Military Order of the Purple Heart, we are in favor of this bill and encourage its passage.
Great. Questions? I don't see any. Thank you for your testimony, sir, and thank you for your service. Okay. Any final comments from the bill sponsor?
I would just note, Mr. Chairman, that the fact that Mr. Armstrong had to pull his DD-214 and see a tear happen, too, the driver's license card would not tear.
Yes. Good point. Yes. Senator Kukesh.
Are you going to consider all the idea of including the ID card as part of the identification sticker process program?
Which sticker?
In Alaska, you get a state ID or a driver's license, and the gentleman earlier on had requested that you include the driver's license as well. I mean, this ID card as well as the driver's license are state issued. Both of them are.
Through the chair, Senator, section one of the bill does cover the same provisions for state ID cards at the same costs as a driver's license. So this would apply to your Uncle Sobolev's position as well.
Well, I thought he said that there was, he said his resolution said and yours says or.
As I understand the testimony, their resolution spoke in favor of driver's license and ID.
Right.
And this does provide for either. I don't suppose that somebody would be precluded from having both a state ID and a state driver's license.
As long as you're comfortable with that, I'd like to make sure that does.
We'll go, Senator, that's a good point. We'll go back and check the language and just make sure that it does give the person the option to do that. I think that's an excellent suggestion. Thank you, Representative Sadek.
I want to say thank you to the committee, and thank you for your support for veterans, and thanks for bringing the bill forward.
And we will hold the bill over if members have amendments. If you could get them to Michelle as quickly as possible. Okay, thank you. And with that, we're adjourned.